I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Welcome, everybody, to 1-900 Wrestling, the show where the first minute is free and the next 59 minutes are also free. My name is Willie Dills, joined this week by Lane the Main as well as Justin Robert Young. Welcome to the show, guys. Good to see you.
Oh, man. It is always good to be back, to return to 1-900 Wrestling. Always a good time.
Mm-hmm. And we got a lot to talk about. We have 7 hours of solid Royal Rumble.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll try to cover it in under 1.
West Coast. 2 p.m. West Coast.
Yeah. Well, before we open with all that stuff, let's just go ahead and let people know. If you guys enjoy the show and you want to participate in the Discord, which was hopping last night during the pay-per-view, patreon.com/1900wrestling. That is the way to do that. And just as little as $1 per episode. Like I said, it's free for the first minute. But then you can just choose to pay a dollar for the other 59 minutes if you like. And come on in, join us in the Patreon, the Discord Patreon 1-900 Wrestling community. And it's a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun. So let's talk about the show. We are here to talk about Royal Rumble 2019.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. It's time to start pointing at signs.
I was going
to
say,
pointing at the scoreboard.
Yes. And We almost had a wrestler, I think, forget to do that last night. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, dude.
No sign.
Yeah,
there
dude,
no
what are you
sign.
Doing?
I guess that you can't. You always forget that in an arena, you can hang it from places that have a roof. But I guess there's no sign hangable place in Chase Field.
So actually,
Like it made the entrance really weird. And I like that. Like it was just something different. Like there wasn't like a ramp coming down. It was
with
like
a Titantron above it and all that kind of stuff. Like they were doing that weird thing where the logos of all the people were like floating in the air above their heads.
What do you think of that? What is your, you think it adds to it? Do you
think it's cool? Like, it's weird though. When you don't know what's going on, you first see it, it kind of throws you off a little bit. But once you kind of understand what's happening, it's like, oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, less is more for me on that, and I really only like it during big entrances.
Sure.
Like, I would rather them do a lot of more of that in camera. You know, I would rather them just be close up and not so far back when they are shooting entrances that want to seem more intense. I don't know if everybody, specifically during the Rumble, there was a moment where we got a close-up shot of the Blood Moon in Ember Moon's AR entrance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care. I don't need to see this fake moon. I want to see Ember run to the ring so she can be a part of the Rumble. So, yeah, I think less is more.
Sure. It was also kind of weird. Like they had to run and turn left, right? Which was kind of a bizarre way to enter a Royal Rumble. Like, we had a what was it, San Antonio, when me and you were there, Justin, that the entranceway was so long that literally any fat guy had to be wheeled in.
Is it the golf cart?
The golf cart. Yeah. And some of them were more happy about it than others.
Sure.
I would have loved it. Yeah. Like, that's what I thought they were going to do this year, but it looked like it was just like, it was short, but like, the curve. I think with the, like, with the digital stuff, I think it's okay for like the main matches, but like when the men's rumble is going on like 6 hours and every person's getting this, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of makes it longer because you have to do, because usually with rumbles, you just got to get the guy running out. He usually doesn't pose and everything, but
the music hits, they run out. As soon as they hit the ring, the music stops. It's just the moment of impact of like, oh, the music. Okay, now I know who this is. That's all you really need. But you're right. Yeah, it's a
but
it's
I know
a
this
lot.
Is what makes WWE set apart from everyone else. Like, we've always heard back in the day, like, that's what made Vince popular, is this showmanship of like, he can afford these things. most other places.
Yeah, look, I think it's smart, and it's good specifically when you don't have a Titantron, which they didn't on their main set. Everybody was coming up out of the dugout. So I think it was a good way to do, to make something bigger and grandiose, and some of them look cooler than others. It's just, you know, draw a line somewhere.
Yeah. Now, the other thing about Chase Field, apparently the audience noise, a lot of people were complaining that the audience felt dead, and people in the crowd were saying that they weren't, but it just didn't come across.
Those shows are always weird. Like, it deals both with Royal Rumble and Mania when we went. It's a weird feeling because you're going to have an entire section go ape shit, right? Screaming their heads off. And if you do that in an arena, that energy is going to catch the entire arena fairly fast. Sure. Right?
Yeah.
In an open air stadium, you really needed the faint sound of that to then catch the one next to it, to then catch the one next to it, to then catch the one next to it.
Sure.
And then you have a stadium wide chant. Like, those are fairly rare. Like, unless you have moments where you know that people are all on the same page, like the Daniel Bryan yes chant or something.
Like the Hardy Boys showing up at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
That's going to get the entire stadium together.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was huge. So, I don't know. I always think that the sound in those places feels a little weird and muted, but I think that that's just part of it.
Well, it's especially during a match. I think it's during a match where it's harder to get that sustained feeling of constant excitement and buzz, right? That you do get when you're inside, say, like the Oakland Coliseum, right? Where it's a smaller crowd, so like just a couple people yelling or one guy starting a chant, and yeah, it can spread real quick.
But it's open air. There's no roof, so the sound.
Oh, sorry. I mean, like the Oracle, like, you know, in the basketball stadium.
If there's a roof, it bounces off the roof. You know, that's like the famous Stone Cold always says that, like, the Rosemont Horizon arena in Chicago is his favorite because it has a wooden roof, and he feels like the sound just echoes better off a wooden roof than it does a steel trestle, like, kind of thing. And so that's just, look, the sound is sound. It's definitely a specific thing, but the only time that crowd sounded dead to me, aside from during the pre-show when everybody's filing in, was unfortunately the WWE Championship match, which came right after the female Royal Rumble, which is like, I don't know what you can do, man. When you're putting two Rumbles in there and one of them isn't the first thing that happens, I don't know what else you want that audience to do other than feel like you had all these women's matches and then you had the women's Rumble. The story's complete. The audience has already exploded for their crescendo on the women's side. And now we have two of the best in the world come out and wrestle, and that's a rough spot for them. But I feel like they got it back.
Well, they did, but they also, I think that they kind of understood what they were doing there. I think that was an intentional decision. It was a weird situation where the WWE Championship match was a cool down match, essentially.
Yeah. Because
they knew the ending was going to be, it was going to be ending. Rowan coming out and, you know, slamming AJ and stuff like that. So it wasn't going to be. I my only thing that I could say is that I do wish the Women's Rumble was the last match of the night because it had the biggest ending, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That would have been sweet if that was the final image that we saw, right? Because you didn't know Becky was even going to be in it, all that stuff. Like Seth Rollins, obviously, that's great. But the ending of the Women's Rumble was the most epic moment of the night to me.
I think that you're right, and there's a reason why they're going to be main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, let's get into some of the other stuff that happened, because there is a lot.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just lump the entire pre-show together as one.
Sure.
Is there anything specific you guys want to talk about? There was three matches. There was only supposed to be two. We had Bobby Roode and Chad Gable against Rezar and Scott Dawson for potentially a shot at the title, which, by the way, they don't even get because they didn't even win. I don't even know what the hell the point of all that was. Shinsuke defeated Rusev, so they've hot potatoed that title. And then Buddy Murphy defeats Akira Tozawa, Hideo Itami, and Kalisto in a fatal four-way.
Number one, obviously, that Raw tag team match is whatever it was. I would have preferred the two healthy tag teams were at least able to wrestle each other. I think that might have been the better way to go, but whatever. They get everybody that was going to be on the match in the match, and that is what it is. The other two, though, number one, I thought that the match between Rusev and Nakamura was pretty good. They kind of hit reverse course on the fact that they gave Rusev the title to goose ratings on a pre-taped holiday SmackDown.
Sure.
But cheers to WWE for telling a little story. And the story starts with that match with Lana. And it winds up becoming very, very consequential. But it rewarded people who were watching the pre-show. And, sure. and for the 205 Live one, I just love the fact that they are now just doing like small boy New Japan matches. It's just like punches to the face, knees to the face, kicks to the chest as hard as you can, stare downs, fighting spirit. Like I'm happy that they are able to wrestle in a way that seems different than the main roster. And they've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah, 205 Live is like 205 Unleashed at this point.
Right? Yeah, and I think they're just trying to prove something, like what they say with Mustafa, and he killed it in his Rumble match as well. I think like this was the start to the night we wanted, like it was the build-up. Like you wanted to watch the rest because you knew something with Lana may have came up later, and with the 205 match, like you know they've just been killing it lately, and then just the moves that they see that you haven't seen before, like kind of what Rey Mysterio and Andrade have been doing, just new stuff that you just haven't seen, which was good for the night.
Yeah.
But I think the funniest thing with 205 is not necessarily because I remember, I think it was with Jimmy Jacobs during one of his interviews. He was saying like 205 Live is a really hard show to write for, because what do you make different about 205 Live when Seth Rollins is doing a Phoenix Splash? Mm. Like, yeah, there's not as much. What Rey Mysterio used to do, now kind of everybody does. Like there's, you know, when AJ Styles and Seth Rollins are at the top of your division, your heavyweight division, your championship division, then like how do you separate it? And kind of the way that they've done it has been this like hard striking style. And that's something that WWE hasn't done, at least as a genre. It's obviously very popular throughout New Japan and Ring of Honor and some of the other independent wrestling things. And this is an opportunity for them to capitalize on that. And I think it's doing great.
Yeah. And Buddy Murphy's kind of the king of the hill when it comes to that kind of style right now too. And, you know, like a guy like Tozawa as well. It's a lot of like interesting new ways to hit you really hard in the face with my knee. Right. And that's always fun to watch. You're right though. There's not a lot of fake punching at the top of the card anymore. There's, you know, you even got Daniel Bryan with a high impact, you know, running knee as a finisher. So it's, you know, it's a completely different world up there.
Concussion theater.
You can no longer leg drop and then get a three count.
I love it as much as I love Hideo Itami's muffin top.
Oh, man. I was wondering if someone was going to bring it up.
Yeah. You know, poor guy. Like, I was glad, though, that it kind of came down
whatever.
To him.
Slurp down that ramen, dude. Sure. You're a legend. Do whatever the hell you want.
I was glad it came down to kind of between him and Buddy, and then, you know, they made him look good here. Because his move to WWE has not worked out the way he hoped it would. So it was nice to see him in a match that was really good and mattered, and he did a lot of cool stuff. That was fun. That was fun for me. All right.
It was great. He's great.
We go to the main show, and we open the show. The very first thing that happens when the show opens is Becky comes out. So WWE really understands what's going on here with Becky. Like it's funny to me just like how universally there's not even, you know, usually when someone's this over, there's some hipster in the room going, I don't like her. And no, I don't see that from anybody. I don't see there's like not a single negative comment saying she's too over. She's not actually this good. She's whatever. Like everybody's like on board. Every single person. It's crazy. I can't remember this happening with somebody.
Do you want my nitpick?
Sure. Nitpick away, my friend.
Because it's a wrestling podcast. And so nobody can be truly happy.
Uh-huh.
We can only, you know, swing limb to or vine to vine to our next pitch. In all seriousness, she's the best. I love everything about her. And I love this match. I feel like Becky has one more gear evolution to go through.
Okay.
I feel like I'm very happy that she is out of the super hard themed steampunk thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
Now she's kind of halfway between like she still has the fishnets and it's still like a bodysuit, but it's like a little bit more kind of rocker. And it seems a little bit like a Stephanie McMahon kind of like a reject gear kind of thing. I just feel like her new attitude needs one more gear evolution, something just a little bit more. I don't care if this entire outfit gets bloody, you know, because I'm gonna beat your ass so bad.
Like a Dean Ambrose new, like just jeans, a t-shirt, and like a chain wallet.
Well, she looks.
Yeah, I mean, I
Dean yeah, looks chain great. Wallet for sure.
Yeah, Dean looks great right now. I don't know exactly about the rest of his character, but I think his evolution, sure. Ditching the wife beater, looks awesome. And maybe it's jeans. Maybe it's a little bit more plain. Spoken or maybe I don't have a good answer for it, but
well,
I
when
just
she came out for the invasion and she was just wearing like pants and a shirt. That's the most badass she's actually looked, right? I mean,
sure. Yeah.
Obviously just, bloody face helps that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. That may have helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just something that's just like, look, I'm here to fight. Or let her stun on people a little bit, be dressed really nice.
Well, you know who you know who has that look is Sonya Deville, by the way.
Yeah.
Is she just like all the UFC style stuff? Like Brock now, you know, and just like the shorts and the little tiny boots and everything. It's just like, oh, I'm here for a fight. Like I'm not.
Did he lose his Jimmy John sponsor?
Yeah, they're not on the shorts anymore.
They're gone. It looks like from only the Beast Mark.
Yeah. I don't know when that could have happened. I mean, I don't. Maybe he's just like, I'm over it. I got enough money. I don't need the Jimmy John's anymore.
Oh, but you would take
Brock is still, yeah. That's not Brock. Subs. That's not Brock style.
You would take those and the catering. All right. So I really dug this match. I thought it was really good, and I think it's to be for all the bitching that WWE rightfully gets for some of their booking, they let a super hot member of their roster lose clean to somebody that needed to be kept strong. Knowing that she's going to get all of her heat back and more in 30 minutes.
But when's the last time you saw someone who's this over and being pushed this hard tap? That was
you know,
but just puts Asuka over huge too.
But that's fine. That's fine. It builds to yet another rematch where they can have yet another match and it can be awesome. And Asuka can always say, "I tapped you out right before you went on to main event WrestleMania." Asuka can be pissed that she doesn't main event WrestleMania when she tapped out Becky. And it's like, sure, everybody always likes to play wins and losses when you know their favorite isn't doing something. And tapping is worse, but I don't think tapping should be worse.
No,
tapping shouldn't be worse than a pinfall. Like it's I get the fighting spirit thing, but
this would have been good to bring back the pass out. Like there's key times to do it, and this is the like she's fighting too much that if she would have just like, you know what I mean, just
like yeah. But that gets overused a little bit too. I think at this point, I think a tap is like I'm with you, Justin. Like there's a couple of things tropes that I would like to see. One is that. Finishers don't always have to finish the match, and the other is that like tapping doesn't mean like you gave up. Like tapping could literally mean, you know, they were going to break my arm. I had to make a decision.
I'd like to wrestle.
It's a tactical decision, not a give up. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So. Like and look, Conor McGregor got tapped out. He's a bigger star afterwards.
Sure.
Like if you are taking this from the real world. You can take an L. You can tap out. And I'm glad that WWE let her tap out or had her do it there. Protect Asuka, make Asuka even stronger, and then understand that, like, don't think that it's going to ruin it when she comes out and wins the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, well, it certainly didn't. So they were correct. Fantastic match, by the way. Super hard hitting and really, really intense match. And went almost 20 minutes, which makes... what happened later even more impressive when you think about, you know, Becky's night overall. Then you go into the Miz Shane McMahon, which Miz-O-Mac is, what are they calling this tag team? Do we have a name?
I don't know. Names?
No.
Skip ahead.
This was a fun match though.
It was okay. I tend to prefer my Shane matches as one-on-one because I I don't think he wrestles enough to have the timing that really sells a tag team match.
But like, he's the best in the world, Justin.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. He's the best.
He has the trophy. He's the best in the world.
He's like 55 years old and he's hitting friggin' like crazy moves off of top ropes. What?
And the shooting star press.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar can't even do that.
He breaks his neck.
Is when he is wrestling somebody who's great, then any moment where people aren't moving can be tension. Any moment that he doesn't tag at the right time or comes in a little slow or comes in a little fast, that is the only thing. I have no doubt. I love Shane. I love watching him wrestle. The one thing that I would assume you can't teach and you need to stay in practice on is timing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely true. That's the thing that you're not. You clearly see the difference. It's the things like how he delivers strikes and all that kind of stuff. And you could tell his focus is on the one or two big moves he's planned on hitting.
Sure. And that's, I think he is doing as good as he can for what he's doing. But when you're on that stage and you're wrestling against guys that are so smooth in Cesaro and Sheamus, I think it sticks out more than the one-on-one matches. The question now is, do you guys think this ends with a big tag team match at WrestleMania or Miz versus Shane at WrestleMania?
That's what I want. We've always heard the rumor that if Shane does turn heel and with face Miz, that'd be good. That'd be just something different.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. And in this match, they put Shane over as like the ultimate badass, by the way. Like, did you see there was a moment where, you know, it was the moment where Sheamus is already laying in the corner and he's going to go for the coast to coast. Then Cesaro gets in and then Shane just literally like punches him a couple times and elbows him once. And then he goes down. Now he's got both of them set up for the cut. There was like those moments where like he just bested Cesaro in hand to hand combat. Yeah. Like they really are wanting Shane to look like a freaking badass, which I think is hilarious. All right. So they're the champions. I do think you guys are right, though. I think this heads towards a one.
Did I have them winning? Is that my prediction?
We both did.
Prediction?
We both did.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah. We actually tied again. Good. This time it was 6-6. We got a lot of them right. Yeah. Okay. Now we move into another women's match, Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks. This was really, really fun, too. They got a little less time than the Asuka Becky Lynch one, but this was, I think, the first time in a long time where I remembered how good Sasha is.
Yeah, agreed.
She hasn't really been doing a lot. It's been a lot of tag stuff, a lot of like stuff with Bayley, like will they, won't they? And this was just like, let's have Sasha and Ronda just have a super sweet back and forth match the whole way.
I think the entire women's roster really showed up this entire card. And I totally agree with you that this was Sasha Banks reasserting herself as like, no, you should be excited that this is a dream match. You should be excited. I should have gotten a shot at Ronda Rousey as, you know, earlier than this, because you want to showcase big money matches on big pay-per-views. This was great. I think Ronda continues to evolve. And Sasha. I was glad to see the heel step on the hand going for the rope back. That's one of my favorite Sasha spots ever.
This was actually, you're right. Like the evolution of Ronda is really interesting right now because every single match you see her do things that she hasn't done yet.
She had not taken
a superplex until this match. was sweet.
This one also put her in peril a lot more than we've seen her. We've kind of seen Ronda have matches be really impressive based on her athleticism. And I think we have finally kind of got to the end of the low expectations of like, oh, I'll bet you she'll screw up. And it's like, no, she's proven herself enough that now it's not enough that we're like, wow, she's learning.
it's like when your kid like can actually play chopsticks on the piano. And you're like, oh, well, look at that. He's the genius. No, you're like, okay, no, now like Chopin is coming out and you're like, yeah, exactly. That's what we all should have expected the whole time.
But this was, I think she did a great job and her character has evolved to a point where Sasha, who's noticeably smaller and skinnier than her, can effectively put her in peril. When she was in that weird, like modified Rings of Saturn that Sasha was like biting her hand on, it felt right. It felt good. The transitions were smooth. It felt like a cool, like a submission driven contest.
Sure.
And that was really cool. I really liked the match.
Well, that ended in an impact move, which Ronda has not been doing a lot too, by the way. So that was kind of sweet.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of biting this weekend in WWE. We also had Cassius Ohno biting Matt Riddle's bare foot in their match.
That's gross, and you should probably get a tetanus shot. let me ask you guys. So we got more teasing of Four Horsewomen Four Horsewomen. Where do you pay this off? Is this Elimination Chamber?
Evolution 2.
You think so? Mm. We're going to do another year of them teasing Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen.
It's like would the other two be ready? Like what's the other two MMA ladies?
That's I think the thing is that they're waiting for it to be the match that they want it to be, right?
Well, I sure as hell know who would be attacking with weapons and chairs at the beginning of the match because it's a no disqualification. Yeah. It would be the other two, but they're fine. I mean, like they take bumps. They took bumps at TakeOver.
Are they Baszler's lackeys? Is that why I missed that match? Are they like,
yeah,
no, kind of,
they're her squad and they always roll with her. And, they, you know, when I saw NXT out here, they came out as the Four Horsewomen. They were announced as part of the Four Horsewomen.
Like, especially like with like 8-man tags, they wouldn't even have to do a lot, like a spot here or two there. And then like Baszler and like Ronda do a good bit, and then the rest can sell the hell. Yeah,
sure, but there's also all that time, like Justin brought up earlier, that timing, that multi-man tag timing can be very tricky.
Because Ronda's not really done tags like Baylor.
Not like Baszler's this, not like
knowing,
eight.
No. Knowing everybody involved in that match, that would be choreographed within an inch of its life.
I'm sure there'd be plenty of practice.
Famous. They are all fairly famous for rehearsing and drilling and choreographing their matches as much as they can going back to the performance center. So I would imagine a match like that would have the opportunity to get, mainstream attention and everything. They would probably look to make sure that you polished it up.
It is interesting that you bring up Elimination Chamber, because that could also make sense because of the fact that they're probably going to keep some of these. Like right now, we've got a few matches that are kind of, we know, are essentially set because of what happens at the Royal Rumble. But then now you've got months to keep them apart, essentially, and then still let them be on TV. So, I mean, that could definitely also be a possibility.
I mean, the biggest question for me is when you bring up Shayna.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and she did not drop the title. So you don't imagine that it's going to be anytime before WrestleMania. Not that they would bring somebody up before WrestleMania. That wasn't already in NXT call up. So
at this point, though, they did in the Rumble last night, there was a lot of people who are not necessarily getting called up that are definitely still in NXT. And then the word on the street is that it's going to be a lot more fluid, that you don't have to get called up. You can just go back and forth. Yeah. Essentially.
I don't know why they don't do more of that, because
that should just be
specifically in this era of segmented WWE where you have Raw and SmackDown and NXT and NXT UK and 205 Live. You've recreated the territories for yourself.
Yeah.
Let some people tour your internal territories.
Like you're in your own NWA, like let them go everywhere.
Well, just at least for, especially for the ones that do bulk tapings, like, and when you really only need a night, send the New Day to England for a night. Let them tape 3 episodes of NXT UK, right? Send people down to Orlando. Let them tape NXT. Send NXT people up to the main roster and just let them have a run without it, you know, having to be that they're there now forever. You have so much of an opportunity to do that. And I don't know.
What's the competition thing that they announced? Like is it like NXT, NXT UK, 205 Live?
Yeah. We have Worlds Collide, a tournament that, you know, a spoiler alert, and you know, may factor into future plans with one of those promotions.
No, it's true. It also creates a lot of buzz around any event, right? Who's going to show up? Who's going to be here? It's really, to me, I think it's maybe it's been years of setting this up, but they're there. It's ready. Time to unleash, you know?
Yeah. Let them go, because that was the most fun part of the both Rumbles to me, was watching, like, seeing people interact and be like, ooh, I'd like to see that match.
Sure.
I'd like to see that match.
Yeah. All right, like, so let's talk about that Rumble match, by the way. Like, yeah, you know, there's lots and lots of storylines intermingling, people who, you know, had maybe not had a chance to interact, who were interacting. The women's Rumble match goes over an hour, longer than the men's, by the way. And in the end, Lane called it. And you mentioned this, that Lana's ankle injury comes back from the pre-show. And
I didn't think it was going to be that. I thought it was going to be like, because she lost, like the, what they did with Roman.
Like she was just going to get a number. And then, sure.
And I didn't know Finlay could make those calls. By the way,
Shinsuke won and just got a number. So, I mean,
true.
You just, it's just the free for all, apparently.
No, did you like knowing the number 30 the whole time? Like with the mixed match thing? Like,
well, it made number 29 a lot more impactful.
Yeah.
Because when 29 was coming up, I was like, oh, I guess this is it Becky? And then everyone was like, well, Nia hasn't come out yet. I was like, oh,
that's crap. Yeah.
Okay. So then how does Becky get in? And then you go, oh, yeah, Lana's still walking down the ramp.
So, yeah, as soon as she started hobbling, I was like, oh.
Yeah, you had a feeling?
Oh, here it is.
All right, by the way, I want to point out an inaccuracy. Now, this is nitpicking on a wrestling show, which is just the stupidest thing ever. Like, who's not paying attention to the rules? Well, apparently, Becky has to get the go-ahead, whereas Nia Jax can just beat the shit out of R-Truth. That's true. She's just in.
You don't know if she beat the shit out of Fit Finley before she came out.
There you go. So Finley was already down, like, and said, okay, go. And then the word had not gone out, the truth yet.
Sure. Hornswoggle Finley, like, high five, like, because he was there. Like, that was a good, like, with Zelina Vega and Hornswoggle. Like, that was funny.
So let me ask you guys this. No legends in the female Rumble, which was a surprise considering we got so many legends last year. Did you like no legends?
Loved it. Yeah. The reason is because of last year, this was what everyone is, of course, it's wrestling, bitching and moaning about, that like because they're coming back, they have to not squash the new talent, but you know what I mean? Like, their time has happened. They did lay the groundwork, but now it's like how veterans retire. Like, you always let the newcomer put them over. And so, like, that's what with last year. So with this year, it made perfect sense because it was like the people now and the people coming up. So there was none of that, like, burying mentality. So I loved it. And the one spot in the
there were still surprises, though, by the way. I mean, Rhea Ripley wasn't somebody that I knew was going to be there, you know,
again. And it's like, man, you look at her right next to Charlotte and you're like, oh, I would love.
Oh, I know. Right. Like, she just looks like a friggin' badass.
Well, because also just the height, her, mm-hmm. Lacey Evans and Charlotte just are.
Yeah.
They're tall. And it's like, that's something that I've always found weird about Charlotte, in that, like, look, when she's going up against Sasha or Alexa, who are so, like, they come like eyeball to nipple with her.
Yeah.
You just have to wrestle a different kind of match. Rhea Ripley, who I can only imagine the spikes for, you know, her name with Step On Me following it, is just like such a gigantic presence. She has such a great look. And specifically now with Charlotte's attitude, I think she's so completed that character Charlotte has, that it's like, I would just love to see it. Lacey Evans too, but and for a different reason, just because Lacey Evans is just like the twisted version of PTA bitch, which
sure. She's just spits on everybody and just has disdain for everybody around her.
I felt like it was good as well, because you never have to, like, because they used so many people last year, are they going to reuse people? Or are they going to bring back someone like Layla or someone they haven't used yet? But then, like, with this, like, I think it, long-term, it helps them better than a one-night 15 minutes of fame with this. Like, ooh, this person came back, great. But with long-term with this, it just seems so much better.
It worked really well last year because it was the first one, and this was a chance for some of these people who would have never had a chance to do it. But now I think I wanted to see the current roster shine. And because it's so deep, you literally can do it.
Yes.
And you might as well get these women to start having Royal Rumble matches. So in 5-6 years, they've been in 5 or 6 of them. You know,
it was a great way to zig instead of zagging. And like last year was amazing. I love the Women's Royal Rumble last year just because it was this like condensed history.
It was a celebration of the history of women's wrestling, not just this year.
It was like, oh, cool. Like, look at all these people and look who's still in shape and look who can still do their old moves. Yeah. Like, this is great. Like,
like a passing of the torch.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
yeah,
we built this for you. And let us have our night. Like Beth Phoenix was great. Alondra, like all of those were just.
Well, and also, is there a better, more poetic way to say we are a different division than Asuka eliminating Nikki Bella? Right. Like that's just, they're so different performers. Nikki is so the pinnacle of a certain kind of female performer in that company. And Asuka is such an example of risks they take now that they might not have before. And so I thought it was great. But this, I agree with you guys. I thought it was awesome. Men's Rumble too. I thought that this was, for the first time, you're like, wow, for all that we talk about, the talent being the talent being the talent, make them stars, give them the platform, and they're going to make themselves stars. It was there. It was on display. Even the Chinese chick, like, she was awesome. The people that I didn't.
Oh, Xia Li. Yeah,
Xia Li was great. The American Ninja Warrior girl.
Yeah, Casey Catanzaro. She was highlight, dude. That was dope. Her like way to get back in the ring. That's the best.
I mean, she has about the height of a Risk figure.
Sure.
She was tiny.
she's great.
Sure. Yeah. She actually had some pretty sweet moments outside of that. So the other thing is there's a couple other notable things here that they are still giving some of the women you'd expect some of the biggest rubs as far as time in the match. So Natalya was in the match for 56 minutes, which, by the way, surprised me when I saw that because I barely noticed her.
Yeah.
She came in really early and she was there till almost the end. In fact, Nia Jax eliminated her.
I almost wonder whether or not somebody like Natalya is in there for as long as she's in there just to make sure everything's going according to
plan. It could very well be. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like to call out things like, okay, it's time to eliminate this person. It's time to eliminate this person. That kind of stuff.
And, yeah. And it's like, you know, the ref would know who to go to, you know, to pass anything along. She can know what the order is. She knows where everybody's supposed to go. Like, That just seems
she didn't
to me
do a lot, but we don't see everything she's doing.
She was den mother.
Sure. yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's a good role for her right now. Ember Moon in there for 52 minutes. Charlotte Flair for 50. And then you got Lacey Evans, the fourth longest at almost a half an hour. So you got quite the rub.
Bullish. She is Lady Elias. Just a gimmick that did not play tremendous for 200 people at Full Sail, and for whatever reason it's a bigger character that when you are out and about in, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, you can just look in her cold dead eyes and just hate her as she refuses to call your cousin by they them.
So now I want to pose you guys a little trivia question here.
Ooh,
who is the fifth longest in that match? Pick the name that you think lasted. I just told you the top four. Who lands number five?
Was it Charlotte?
Mickey Charlotte James. Was three.
Was it
Natalya, Ember, Charlotte, Lacey, and then the next one. Who do you think was the fifth longest?
I'll go with what Lane said.
What'd you say, Lane?
Mickey.
Oh, Mickey James. Yeah, she was in there for a while. You're not going to believe this, but it's my girl, Mandy Rose, was in there for 25 minutes and 50 seconds. She did a lot in this match, too.
Well, she has a good storyline going into the Rumble. She was one of the few that had like a outside storyline coming in.
Sure. Yeah, criticized story, but I feel like that moment paid off. That was a great to see Natalya. Not Natalya, to see, at least I confused her with a white woman.
Naomi had her Kofi Kingston moment and then got immediately pulled. And by the way, that was dope. I was like, no, she's going to jump to the stairs. Like, that's dangerous. And she's landed awesome. Perfect. So
And then Mandy Rose.
And then Mandy Rose pulled her back off the stairs.
Yeah, that was a great moment. I think Mandy Rose is awesome.
Yeah, she's underappreciated by a lot of people.
She's a Barbie doll with a V-trigger. It's amazing.
Yeah, physically she looks like she can go with people. So anyway, yeah. Of course, the whole thing comes down to then Becky Lynch coming in, replacing Lana. And then, you know, just having like a pretty solid, last bit of the Rumble. She was only in for 13 minutes, eliminated two people. But of course, the most important one being Nia Jax. So she pulled Nia Jax again, though, from the outside. So this is another, moment like that. And then, of course, then you finally have her face off with Charlotte. And I thought that was really well done, where she gets Charlotte to the outside. She hits her so friggin' hard that Charlotte like kind of crumples. And then it wasn't like one of those, you know, we're both teetering type of things. It was like Becky just, it was, you know,
yeah,
I'm the man. That was the
another,
moment.
Another big, you got to point it out when it happens, because we sure as hell point out whenever they fuck up storytelling wise, but they took Nia Jax breaking Becky's face and made it a moment that ignited a baseball stadium. Like they've played that perfectly. They haven't hammered it home too much. Nia Jax didn't have a catchphrase and started selling t-shirts, called the Becky face breaking punch. Like it was well done. It was there in the background. And then when Becky's running to the ring and Nia Jax is the one in the center of it, you're like, oh shit, it's on.
Yep. All right. So, overall, fantastic, fantastically booked, fantastically played out. There's not a lot of like botching, which I think a lot of people expect from the women's Royal Rumble. They're like, oh, it's going to be, there was some early stuff that was a little funky where you could tell it was like the, you know, not their it's top a talent.
Rumble. It's a Rumble.
The Rumble, there's tons of botching. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it's not going to be a fucking Okada strikes for 6 minutes. Yeah. Like, calm down.
There's a lot of people trying to, figure out how to waste 15 minutes of time doing nothing,
figuring out what the fuck is happening, and so they're like rubbing their chest on each other while they hope for that tension somewhere else.
You wonder why they spend 5 minutes like kind of pushing someone over a rope in the corner. Like they're just stalling, like they're just okay, four of us can do this for a while. All right, so Daniel Bryan, then AJ Styles, 25 minute long match, by the way. That didn't need to be 25 minutes.
No, it did not.
I understand why they didn't have this be the pinnacle of the saga that has been Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, because this was all about having Rowan come in and now creating this flannel squad.
It's that thing that soap operas do. It makes you keep watching because you want to know, why did he come in? Like, is it the Wyatt family? Is it because they have beards? Is it because like they wear flannel? Like, it can be so many different things. And I think that's why, like, no one could have saw that coming. Good Lord. No,
that was weird. When he first just walked out, I was like, okay, he is clearly wearing a flannel, so I guess he's on Daniel Bryan's side. And then, he comes into the ring and you're like, all right, sure. So I'm guessing this will all be explained on Tuesday.
Vegan Diesel.
Yeah, exactly. This could be a fun pairing, though. I'm in for this. By the way, Mr. Schmoove in the chat room, who says he was there at Royal Rumble, says, and then us in the crowd fell asleep during this match. So, it was a cool down match, and it was a long match, and give people a chance to go to the bathroom and grab a beer. That's kind of what happened here. It's fine. There's still a lot of fun moments. I did enjoy. The end of it. I thought it was an okay finish, but not a lot to talk about with this one. So let's move on. Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor. This was another really fun little guy, big guy Brock Lesnar match, which I think we're all kind of enjoying this dynamic rather than I do want to see Brock fight some of the big guys that are out there that he hasn't yet. I think McIntyre makes a lot of sense. I think Lashley makes a lot of sense at some point. I think Killian Dane, I would love to see in a match with Brock Lesnar. Like, there's a lot of guys match up in size, but he's telling the big guy, little guy story pretty damn well.
McIntyre's the only one of those that I'm really excited for.
Sure.
I think Brock works better when Brock's kind of like Randy Orton in a way where it's like, I think they are both so freakishly athletic that it takes somebody being at their level for them to even try because they know how easy it is to kind of like just coast. Like the best Randy Orton matches are like with Seth Rollins, where he's going to flip around and Randy's like, oh, cool. I guess we're doing this now.
Sure.
I think it's the reason why Brock works well with the smaller guys. And I think that this was a great big guy, small guy match where the story was, what if everything went wrong for Brock? What if
his one weakness was his penis? And if we just keep hitting it over and over, like, who would have thought, like, that's the one thing, like, it's never been tried before. If we just hit Brock in the dick over and over, it wasn't the dick.
It was the
diverticulitis thing, right? Yeah. Like, that's what I was thinking. It's the gut. He got the gut in the corner of the table twice, right?
But yeah, but beyond that, it was just like, you know, sure. Normally in any kind of combat, you're going to swing and maybe you hit, you know, you roll the D&D dice and either it's a critical hit or it's a, right? Sure. What if your opponent, despite being undersized and under, doesn't have as much offense, what if he kept rolling tens?
Sure.
What if it was just 10 after 10 after 10
20.
After 20, sorry, 20, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, what if it was 20
get it,
after 20?
Get it 20. Right, Justin, jeez. Right,
I think they've learned this because of Daniel Bryan. They've done this, like, they're trying to get you to believe the point that it could happen, and then they take it away at the last moment. So when it actually does happen, it's going to make that, like, just a little bit sweeter because you're like, was it Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, now, like, Braun Strowman? Like, every time it's about to happen, it gets...
Well, the other thing too is that they this time Brock couldn't hit the F5, had to then go to the Kimura lock, which he has not used in a really long time, right? Like that was a little bit of the storyline there. Was Finn kept weaseling out every time he thought he had him, you know, and he was just going to get him with the big power moves. Finn was able to just kind of like, I'm a little bit too slippery for you, and just able to get back out. Plus, the other thing I really liked was the Finn whole strategy of, I got to go for the surprise. I got to go for the shock factor, right? Like, I have to get him before he's ready for me. And so it's just, it sold this story really well of Finn came in with a strategy. Brock was expecting, you know, I'm just going to grab puny human and eventually get him, and then realizing, oh my God, that's not going to work. And then figuring out something else, right? Which was, the moment Finn tries to pin me, I get him in the Kimura lock, and that's how I can possibly win the match. Yeah. So it sold both competitors as actually, like, Brock can develop a game plan after everything is going wrong that then ends up working. And also that Finn is, like, dangerous to anybody, even Brock.
I think this brought up everyone's, like, excitement, too. This is what people wanted to watch this, I would say, more than AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, because we have seen it before, and we still wanted to see it. But with Finn and Brock, you just wonder, are they going to pull the trigger, which brought the excitement back up to finish the night.
So the beatdown afterwards, by the way, Ogre bringing up in the chat that he didn't like it. I liked it because it seemed to me that it was just Brock being pissed that he had to work.
Do that much, yeah.
Like, you made me do stuff. And it was also like Brock gets blue balls when he can't hit the F5. So he just had to, you know, he had to release.
Yeah, no, I thought it told the best story for everybody that Brock can be beat if you are awesome. That Finn is indeed awesome enough to beat Brock Lesnar, that Brock is always dangerous and can end a match at any time with a submission, and that Brock's a piece of shit who beats people up after. Like,
yep,
boom. And it was great, and I'm glad it wasn't the same big guy, small guy match that we had seen with Daniel Bryan, where Brock gets over big and then the small guy fights from underneath. Like,
sure.
I thought it was a cool thing to say, oh, look, Finn could... Like, it's going to take everything going right, but Finn could go on that kind of run.
Yeah, so they set up, I think, the demon Finn gets another crack, right? And then,
oh, that'd be sweet, yeah.
So I brought it up
I don't know. I think Finn might be off doing something else.
He might, but I mean, I if you want to keep Seth and Brock away from each other, then it's just have him fight Finn a couple more times, and... That would totally do it. So
I feel we'll see. We have one more awesome Brock small guy match to go, though.
Okay.
And I don't know who it is.
All right. Well, but, let's talk about the men's Royal Rumble match, because maybe one of those little guys could be in there. So this starts off, by the way, there was, you brought up that there was none in the women's Royal Rumble. Yeah, you had one in the men's Royal Rumble. One old timer coming back.
What weird clothing, too. Good Lord.
Yeah, you think he lost his jacket? Did that get like the
double jacket? He got shredded. He got run over by a lawnmower at some point. He was wearing a full well, no, one
that
piece.
That was his.
No, I remember that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it most in WCW.
Yeah. He's hit the cowboy thing going too. Yeah, the whole thing was happening. Fence,
you know, thing, but it looks like bondage gear on him now.
It does. It was not necessarily the best look for his current body type. But anyway, we're talking, of course, about Jeff Jarrett.
Because he's not in bad shape. Like, for a guy his age, he looked fine. He just needs to get the goddamn jacket.
Sure.
Where's your jacket, pal?
And so Elias opens with, Elias promo. By the way, I think he turned heel.
Back again? That's what I thought.
He talks shit about the local sports team. He was doing the heel stuff again.
He's Elias. He's just
he's the drifter, man.
It's all the boy knows.
So anyway, Jeff Jarrett comes out. Jeff Jarrett does the Jarrett walk, with the fingers. It was all excellent. Cuts a promo with Elias, and then Elias smashes him over the back with a guitar, and we're off and running. And it's Royal Rumble 2019 for the men. So it was a lot of fun. Shinsuke comes out 3, which I think was a little bit of a surprise because he had won his U.S. title match. I was not expecting to see him in there at all.
But he was the previous winner.
That's true. He is supposed to be in it again, right, as the previous winner. Yeah. Then you got Kurt Angle, which I guess is the other old-timer, but he's around, so it's not really, there's no, like, surprises or anything. And then just, it was like a solid Royal Rumble with a lot of really fun kind of plot lines going in and out and a lot of really awesome moments. And let's see. We had Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne and Aleister Black were the 3 NXT guys, which are not necessarily call-ups, but just show-ups, right?
Great, great, great moment that both Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae get to be in Royal Rumbles.
Yeah.
That was super fun. I thought Gargano really kind of acquitted himself well. It was the first time that I've seen him with the bigger guys, like with the main roster kind of guys. And look, he's smaller, but he held his own. Mustafa Ali too. I think he,
He had a fantastic, so he was a second longest, by the way.
He's a player.
So the longest was Seth Rollins. Second longest, Mustafa Ali. Let's see.
How sad do you think Seth was that he probably had to put in the order for those Chicago Bears tights like months ago, right? And I bet you in his head, he's like, yeah, man, got such a good team. They're going to make the Super Bowl. This will be like right before the Super Bowl. I'm going to have my Bears tights. It's going to be great. He's probably really sad.
So this to me was an interesting rumble in the fact that I think the women's had a lot more like big moments. This was a little bit more of just like a classic rumble of just guys come in, guys fight, some guys eliminate other guys. Like there was like a couple of things like Samoa Joe getting eliminated by Mustafa Ali, things like that, right? Where it ties into current storylines. But as far as like super memorable moments, to me, the biggest one is Nia Jax. And this entire, like a woman actually stole the show in the men's Royal Rumble.
I don't think that anything would be any bigger. This was a risk.
Yeah.
This was real risk. This was WWE hanging their nuts out a little bit because there's a chance that this can get shit on not only by the crowd. Well, look, the crowd is always going to be biased to the fact that we saw the thing, right? As long as it doesn't totally blow.
Yeah.
They're going to be biased to the fact that they got to see the big fun thing. But the chattering class like us, like, there was a chance that this could have been totally shit on, but cheers to WWE for doing it and cheers to Nia Jax for pulling it off because I thought it was fucking great.
It was awesome. It was super good.
A better window too to intergender, like we've seen over the indies. Like intergender has been like a big thing the past few years, and this is like WWE's like they were She took an RKO and everything. Like, this is...
She took a 619, a super kick, and an RKO. Yeah. Yeah. The super kick was the shocking one, because it was just like, yeah. Oh, they're actually doing that. Dolph Ziggler just, out of nowhere, just boom, to the face. To me,
it was very exciting, because the theme of both Rumbles was how much talent they have and how many matches we haven't seen.
Sure.
Right? Like, all these times, like even in the men's Rumble, you know, Aleister Black was wrestling Drew McIntyre, and I'm like, oh shit, those guys have worked each other probably dozens of times in the UK. I'll bet you they could fucking like tear the house down on the main roster. And then you bring in, had to have the Nia Jax moment be at the end of the second Rumble. And it was almost just this like, oh, you think that just based on these rosters, there's matches you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Now let's open up intergender shit, which we've not done.
Randy Orton, Nia Jax at WrestleMania. Let's go.
I mean, shit. Yeah. Why not?
What really made me sad is like when we get to number 30 and then with R-Truth and everything. But what really like got me was the people that didn't show up. So we didn't see like the Sami Zayn, the Kevin Owens, like Ty Dillinger not coming out of 10. That was a big surprise. Like, but it was. What are they doing with the guys that aren't these 30 guys right now?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, I think this was just overall, this is, like I said, if you want to talk about big moments, the women's Royal Rumble has the bigger final moment that could end the pay-per-view. But this is like, this was just, to me, last year's was like a bigger, like, okay, we're doing all these cool things and we're bringing the Rumble back. It's not going to get booed anymore. We got Shinsuke winning everything. This was like, okay, now we know we can do that. WWE is like proven that they're fine. Royal Rumbles are fun again. We don't have to like boo when Roman Reigns comes out at 30. We could all just have a good time with them. We don't need to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff. We can just have a really good Royal Rumble. And that's what it was. It was a really good Royal Rumble. Like, I just enjoyed everything, the whole thing. Like, there was no part where I was like, eh, that was kind of lame. Like, I just never felt that. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, I guess a lot of people on the internet said this show was just okay. I don't understand what these people want.
A lot of people can eat shit.
What do these people want, man?
Like, what the, I mean, come on, man. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that. Like,
yeah.
Look, you got the thing that everyone wanted. You always say, enough with the legends. Enough with the Undertaker. Right? Why are they putting Batista back? They have so much talent. This is a very talented roster. You're right. You got everything you wanted. You got all the indie guys. You got Johnny Gargano wrestling. You got, I mean, sure. Okay, we got Dolph Ziggler again. There's only so much that we're ever going to be able to get out of Dolph Ziggler coming out late into a Royal Rumble. But I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. Look, I get it. They've booked a better Royal Rumble on 2K19. I get it. Their division is killing it. The right people are champions and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, just shit. Jesus Christ, everyone settled down.
It was a good start to 2019.
It was a great start. Yeah, the road to WrestleMania is looking hot, and I'm excited for it. All right, I think we're done. That's an hour. We've talked plenty. It was a seven-hour show, condensed down into one by the boys here at 100 Wrestling. We don't have any like questions or anything, right? We're
good to go. Grab one. All right. I knew we would go long because of how long the freaking show was.
The show was freaking long. Yes. Show's freaking long. We're all burnt out.
Real quick, of all the takeover matches, which is your favorite?
Oh, Ricochet. It's Ricochet. Yeah, Ricochet and Gargano.
Ricochet and Gargano.
Oh, I mean, God. that was insane.
By the way, halftime, he's back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, so this was the other thing that was announced that I didn't know.
I don't know what that is. I know it's this weekend, but it's happened before.
It's during the halftime of the Super Bowl.
Have you never seen the empty arena match between the Rock and Mankind?
I've heard of it, but I didn't know it was during a halftime.
Do yourself a favor and go look it up. But yeah, this was the man. You have to pay me five imaginary dollars if I say that it was the Denver Broncos versus Green Bay Packers Super Bowl that you switched over to USA, and they had a pre-taped exactly allotted to how long the Super Bowl halftime show was going to be.
Which, by the way, will be Maroon 5. So it's okay to miss it.
Crapped on it too. Like, they were like, why watch Maroon 5 when you can see these guys? Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's fun.
Because if it was JT again, like it was, what, last year or the year before? Yeah, last year. I ain't switching away from that. I'm not turning off the JT. But Maroon 5, all right, I can go for that.
So is it just this one match? So it's like a pre-tape?
It's a three-on-three NXT match.
I would assume that they're going to do it pre-taped. I don't know why they would try to throw in a live element to it. But for
you don't want anything to go wrong.
For like 15 minutes or whatever they're going to do it for. But yeah, I would assume that they'll probably shoot it at Full Sail and you know, have it go. But I think it's great. Dark DIY plus Adam Cole versus Shay, Velveteen, and Aleister.
And Aleister Black. Yeah. Yep. And that's good. I mean, dude, come on. Like, that's just going to be sweet. So this is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Do they do an audience at all? Do they do another empty arena thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was the reason why you do the empty arena is because they sold it. It's funny.
They sold it as live, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I don't know if they sold it as live. But something to wrestle with. Bruce Pritchard was talking about that. Apparently, it was a Jim Cornette idea. But it was their way to get around. How do we shoot it? How do we shoot something with a crowd that we're going to try to protect the finish of? Because at that time it was a title match.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah, it gets out. Sure.
Yeah, because Mankind had just won the title.
Yeah.
And now he was in an empty arena match with The Rock. So you don't want to necessarily broadcast whether or not there's a title change because that would kill interest in it. And so they did it. Lane, no, you got to go watch it. I don't even want to spoil.
I need to see it. And I think you brought up a good thing too with Pritchard's podcast. Like with him being a producer back then, it's so like if you can stand to listen to a usual like 4 to 5 hour podcast, sometimes like his shows are fantastic.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, I mean, just invaluable. Even if you hear the same 6 stories over and over and over again.
Whenever I go to shows that he's there, that it sells out instantly. And it's so hard to get tickets to just the live of his shows.
Who doesn't want
to
see Brother Love, baby? all right, so I actually don't even remember what happened. I remember watching this, The Rock, Mankind. I don't remember what happened. I got to go watch this again. This is so long ago.
Tune in next week after the Super Bowl.
Watch Halftime Heat. Watch Halftime Heat.
By the way, if I'm ever going to watch a Mankind Rock match, it would be this one, not the friggin' one where Rock destroyed Mankind's head.
That's the Royal Rumble. That was.
I knew that was the anniversary because I knew people were talking about that. I didn't know if the
no. Yeah, so this was in that sequence. There's a 3-match sequence.
Yeah.
There's the famous that'll put butts in seats Monday Night Wars moment where in a taped Raw, Mankind wins the title. Then in between is Halftime Heat, and that is his title defense against The Rock. But then The Rock also gets a title shot at the Royal Rumble in an I Quit match, and that's where all the headshots and the
That's the I Quit match where he handcuffed him and they just bashed him over the head over and over, unprotected chair shots. It's horrible.
It's absolutely
terrible.
Halftime Heat. Very, very fun, specifically because these are two of the best talkers at the top of their game. And in an empty arena match, you kind of have to have them talk shit the entire time to kind of like keep up the energy. So it's a lot of The Rock, asking what kind of
being the Rock,
monkey piece of shit he is.
that sounds so great. All right, before we go, let's tell everybody what we're up to. Lane, what's going on with you, man?
Well, man, I'm just on Twitter. You can follow me at Lane the Main. I got a big year planned in 2019, especially with a kid on the way, and it'll just be a fun time.
Congratulations on that, by the way. Oh, you did get a question asked during the Royal Rumble. Can you do a shooting star press?
I'm learning a moonsault, and then we'll go to the shooting star.
Baby steps. One thing at a time. All right, Justin, what's going on with you? I know you have a brand new album, Night Attack album, that's doing pretty well.
I do, yeah. All's Well, a Night Attack album available now everywhere that you buy albums or stream it on Apple Music and Spotify.
So head down to your local Amoeba.
Head down to your local Amoeba so you can ask to borrow their Wi-Fi. Yeah. Look, it's an album that I'm really, really proud of with Brian and I. But there's an amazing musician by the name of Stephen Cogswell. For 3 years without promise of payment or credit, he has created a original song based on just audio clips from the previous week's episode. We put together some of the best with original comedy tracks, and it's called All's Well. Go get it.
Nice. Nice. You are at Justin Robert Young or Justin R. Young on Twitter. And twitch.tv/JustinRYoung for daily content, right?
Daily content. And, in fact, the reason why I'm going to have to hang up right now is because I got to go do America's Next Top Podcaster. Mm. I'm the mean judge on America's Next Top Podcaster.
Oh, you got to go put your turtleneck on and get ready to... to shit on some people.
I'm gonna say, yeah, you're bad.
That's gonna be give up. You're done. All right. Well, thanks for coming by for the show, man. It was good having you.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys so much. Peace out.
All right, brother. All right. You can also check me out on Twitter. I am at Willie Dills, and twitch.tv/WillieDills is where this show is broadcast every week. Check me out there playing Hearthstone most of the time, and then sometimes doing live shows about wrestling. All right, that's going to do it for episode 94 of 1-900 Wrestling. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, patreon.com/1-900-WRESTLING, where you can go to support this show and make sure that it continues to happen, as well as become part of our fantastic Discord community. All right, that's going to do it for us. But until next time, keep dialing.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900. Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hot Rod.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a hoax.